In essence, Jesus says, happy are the unhappy. Figure that out on your own. Isn't that a crazy statement to hear? Especially for us in this entertainment-saturated society in which we live. Happy are the unhappy? In many ways, the world values entertainment and laughter as the ultimate goals. Not to think about mourning. The world says, laugh, and the world laughs with you. Weep, and you weep alone. And yet Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will find comfort. Jesus tells us we should grieve at times. Now, what does that mean? In order to understand what it means, we need to start by understanding what it does not mean. Mourning, the second beatitude, does not mean blessed are the miserable. That's not what Jesus is saying here. You do not have to look miserable all the time to fulfill this beatitude. You know, in Jesus' day, the Pharisees would do that. Sometimes they would rub dirt and ashes on their faces in order to make an attempt to look more miserable. They thought that that was a good step to take. That's not what Jesus is saying here. You do not have to go around looking like you were weaned on prune juice to fulfill this second beatitude. Something else that it does not mean is blessed are the moaners. That's not the same as mourning. Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, not blessed are those who moan. You don't have to be and shouldn't be a crybaby in order to fulfill this beatitude. But here's a tough truth in our society. We really need to start and recognize it here. Grief happens because we live in a sinful and broken world. It is everywhere all around us. And I waited until basically today to just catch up on a few pieces of news just so we could keep it current. No week would be different from this one. It just comes in different forms and shapes. 2,100 Afghans die in a landslide. 4,000 of them are misplaced, basically homeless. 41 people to date have died from a fire in Odessa, Ukraine, the southern part of that country, because of clash and conflict between those who are pro-Russian and those who are pro-Ukrainian unity. And that's happening more and more over in that area. In Haiti, this week, a bus crash kills 23. Just like that. You probably haven't even heard about that. Washington police officers shot and killed. Here locally, a sad firing and suicide at the FedEx factory in our area. And then, if you don't know it, some of our people in this body have lost loved ones this past week. And that's common. Now, I'm not trying to say that to depress you. I'm trying to say that it happens, and when it happens, grief is going to come. There's going to be hardship. There's going to be tough stuff. Sometimes it comes when we mess up, if we're honest. Sometimes it comes when others mess up, and that's harder to handle. Both are realities in our world today. The latter that I mentioned is usually the hardest type of grief. But today I want to encourage you to see that grief can be good. In fact, grief can be great. I want to talk to you about both types of grief. Both good grief and great grief. What is good grief? Good grief happens when you and I experience God's healing touch. His out of this world peace and comfort that can come to His children in the midst of difficult times. Some of you can really relate to difficult times because you're in it now and you're struggling. And I hope you'll find that hope today as we look to the solution. But there's one grief even better than good grief. It's called great grief. Great grief is when we choose to be broken over the things that break the heart of God. His heart is broken. He grieves over certain things. And you and I have the choice to join Him in that and to choose to grieve over those very things. We'll come back to the latter one in just a few minutes in our message. But grief can be good when you experience the strong presence of our mighty God. So let's look at how grief can be good. Okay? The first way that grief can be good is because it allows us to experience His unique comfort and grace and peace. We can experience that. He offers that to us. He's holding it out today to you if you're struggling. And He's waiting for you to take that. And please remember that one of our ultimate goals here at Summit is to equip you to go out into the world to help others. Most people who are grieving are out there today. They're not here. Most of them don't want to come here because they see your smiles and they see your joy, and it reminds them even more of their brokenness. And they don't want that reminder. They need you to be equipped today to go out and love them in Jesus' name and to go out and share the good news about the comfort of God. But here's what I'd recommend to you personally. First of all, don't wait until grief attacks before you get ready for it. Build that personal relationship with Christ right now. Build a deeper walk with Him so that when grief comes crashing through the door of your life, and I didn't say if, I said when it does, you will be more ready for those tough times that come your way. Build that strong foundation now so that you can be ready when grief attacks. Earlier in Psalm 34, we read this in verse 4. I sought the Lord, and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. I sought Him. I didn't read this verse earlier under the main point, but verse 18 of Psalm 34 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Isn't that awesome? And saves those who are crushed in spirit. What's our job? To just seek Him. He's ready. Open hands, open arms. We need to go to Him. Someone shared the following quote, which I believe is a great insight about God's comfort. The quote goes, you'll never know if Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. And when Jesus is all you have, then and only then will you discover that Jesus is really all you need. Meditate on that. Think about that great truth. Carry it with you as you leave today. And I want to say something on behalf of our God today, because sometimes He gets blamed for things He should never get blamed for. I want to be on His side by sharing this on His behalf. God is always good. And He is always just. His goodness does not change when you grieve or when you hurt. Sometimes people in their pain say, why did God do this to me? Why did God allow this? When we struggle, it doesn't change the goodness of God. Please always go to Him. Claim that in faith, even in tough times. God's goodness will not go away, even when we're grieving. What's the key? We need to decide to pursue Him and to connect with His goodness. It's going to take some initiative on our part as well. Another byproduct of good grief is this. We can grow stronger during times that are tough. When we grieve, when we hurt, when we're in pain, if we will persevere, our character will develop. We become stronger. Not only so, we read in Romans 5, verses 3 and following. But we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. See the line? Perseverance, character, hope, Paul goes on to say. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. You know what the facts are? We grow stronger in tough times. When we grieve and hurt and experience pain and are able to endure that with God's help, it produces character in us. And what happens when our character grows? We have the eternal hope that can be ours in Jesus Christ. That's the promise of the gospel. Paul says we can rejoice in our sufferings. Now, it doesn't say that we rejoice because of our sufferings. There's a difference between those two. When they come, we can find joy in them, not because they happened, but as God walks with us through those times. Why? It's not really what happens to us that matters. It's what happens in us that matters. Character building, character development. I cannot count the number of people that I have talked to through the decades who have said that they can rejoice in painful past experiences because of the growth that they've experienced and how much stronger they have become in Christ. Listen, folks, God is the ultimate redeemer. By nature, that's who He is. And He will walk with you through those times, and He'll bring you purpose if you will look to Him. And let me share with you one of the most positive things that can come from grief. What is that? We can help others. Can you catch that vision? This is when grief becomes good. When we come through it, when we make it, when we become stronger, we begin to look outside our own selves and we actually begin to look at ways that we can help others. That's the ultimate goal. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. I love this passage. Comfort is used a lot, isn't it? Several times in this passage. That is the same word in Greek that's used in the second beatitude. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And Paul says, when you go through it, you can actually be healed enough that you can help others who are going through difficult times. You can walk with them through their struggles. Go ahead and get that degree in the school of suffering. And then you're going to be prepared to help others who are hurting. Chris and I have been reading a book together on a guy named Adoniram Judson, who was the first missionary from America to go to an unreached part of the world over 200 years ago. And we've been reading a little bit. This past week was such a crazy, hectic thing that by the time we got together, we were both so zonked, we were about ready to go to sleep. So we have missed out on the last week. But we've been reading about how much this man and his family went through as they went to an area we now know as Burma and Myanmar in the Far East, there to try to share the gospel where no believers lived at all. It's unbelievable how much grief he and his family faced as they did that. There was one time he went on a trip and was told it would take him 10 to 12 days by boat to get there because of horrible weather on the water, as well as poor navigation by the captain. It took them 3 months to travel. what should have taken him 10 to 12 days. And during the final week of that horrible trip that he took, he had dysentery. Most of us have never had that tough illness. And during that week, because the rations of food were going away because they were so long on the boat, he had one small cup of water and one spoonful of moldy rice to eat every day with dysentery. Adoniram went to prison. Right after he got out of prison, because of his faith, his wife died, Anne Judson. From 1812 to 1850, during that 38-year period, 24 of his family members died, including several of his children. And I've already mentioned his wife. Unbelievable grief. When I think I've had a bad day, I just meditate on people like Adoniram Judson. God led him to translate the Bible for the first time into the native language in Burma, in the Burmese language. And before he died, as a 62-year-old man, which as I get older is getting younger, may seem old to you, it doesn't to me anymore. Before he died, he finished the translation. He planted 100 new churches in Burma, and there were 8,000 followers of Christ in those churches because he chose to go and suffer for the Lord. I want you to see the quote that a Christian leader in that area of the world just made. Today, there are 6 million Christians in Myanmar. And every one of us traces our spiritual heritage to one man, the Reverend Adoniram Judson. Folks, will you be a pioneer where you live? In spite of the suffering and hardships and difficulties, would you be willing to allow God to heal you so that He can use you to heal others in His name? As you experience His healing and His comfort, you have a testimony, a unique and powerful story that God can use to help others who are hurting and struggling if you would be willing to be obedient to Him. You see, folks, behind every hospital, every hospice, every blood bank, every orphanage, are stories of followers of Jesus Christ who are willing to put up with messes in order to be used for the greatest cause in the universe, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I hope you will catch that passion and allow God to use you to bring His comfort and hope to others who are hurting. Can you tell I'm passionate about this cause? I want you to hear the following story, amazing testimony from a very wounded mother who lost her child. When I heard her story, I wanted you to hear it. I'm so proud of her for being willing in the midst of her pain and grief, and it's not over for her. It's every day in some way. But I want you to be encouraged to remember that when you go through tough times and you experience grief and sad experiences, your heart is being prepared to help somebody else. It's for others. I'm so glad she was willing to do that so that others could be encouraged. Our heart gets softer as we experience the grief that comes with life. Listen to what James says in the first chapter, verses 2 and following. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. There's that character again. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. We've talked about good grief. That's how it can be good. How about great grief? Can I remind you again about what it is? Great grief means that we choose, again a choice, to be broken over the things that break the heart of God. What does that include? It's quite a list. Atheism, polytheism, me-ism, the American dream breaks the heart of God. Betrayal, pride, trafficking of children and women, self-centered churchianity, poverty, and I could go on and on. What's God putting on your heart so that your heart can break with God's heart? Let's consider something else as we talk about grief. Can we be very honest? What happens if I cause it? What happens if it's my pain and my sin, my failures? What happens if I am the one who's the cause of the problem? Here's a good test for your relationship with God today and every day. Does your sin bother you? If it does, that's a good indicator. If we have the Spirit of God and are walking with Him, whenever we sin, it's going to bother us. And we're going to want to do something about it. And when I mess up, I basically have four choices. Three of them are not good. They're bad choices to make. One of them brings genuine hope. And that's what we're talking about in this series, living with hope. Here's the first bad choice I can make: to deny it, to ignore it, to blame someone else. That's what the religious leaders of Jesus' day did. They looked around and they tried to compare themselves with others and said, hey, I'm better than him or her, so I'm okay. It's not my fault. A second bad choice that we can make is to admit it, but then to give up, saying there's no real hope. This is the opposite of living in and with hope. You believe that you can never be forgiven, that your sin is too great, even for the grace of God, or that you'll never be able to get over the grief enough to keep moving forward and be used by God. I want you to know that that's a lie from Satan. Don't believe it. That's where we claim Romans 8:28. For we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. And there's one more bad thing we can do. There's one more bad response if we cause the pain and grief, and that is to admit it, but then to seek change with our own strength, via self-strength. I can do it. I can pull myself up by my own bootstraps. I can move on. Folks, we cannot create self-forgiveness. It starts with the forgiveness of God. The only way we'll be able to forgive ourselves is when we realize that God has forgiven us. When that happens, we can move forward personally as well. Those are the bad ways. There's one real good way to deal with it when I'm the problem. Admit it, and then experience what I'm going to call the big three repentance. Repentance means more than just feeling bad because you got busted. There's a difference between that and repentance. Most people grieve more over the consequences of their sin than they do the actual sin itself. If they weren't in a mess, they'd overlook it. The key problem is getting to the root, and that is the sin. And you and I need to choose to repent from that sin, turning from it, and turning back to our Father in heaven. Here's what Acts 3:19 promises us. Repent then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Do I feel bad because I got caught? Or do I feel bad because my poor choice has hurt my relationship with God? That's true spiritual repentance. When we start there, but then move on. We mourn. Blessed are those who mourn over personal sin. Because then that leads us to choose to confess and to repent. So what are the elements of big three repentance? It's mind plus emotions plus will. The synonyms there are to regret. The Holy Spirit will speak to our minds and we will recognize that we have blown it. But then it goes one step further than that. We begin to feel bad about it. There's remorse. That's the next step of repentance. The ultimate step is the final one. By an act of the will, we stop moving in that direction and say, that's enough. And we turn around and we walk back towards the living with hope that comes from Jesus Christ. We need to recognize it. We need to feel bad about it. And then we need to change. We need to be different. So, grief can be good. Grief can even be great. Here's the good news, follower of Christ. One day you will never have to experience grief again. Ever. For eternity. Look at Revelation 21, verse 4. It's a picture of the life to come. This is God when it refers to He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Done with tears, folks. There will be no more death or mourning. That's just for here. Or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. Like our choir sang so powerfully. And as Kathy shared through her translation, I can only imagine. Can you? It is going to be unbelievable. So much to look forward to. Father, I know today there are people here who are grieving and hurting. Some I know of, most of them I don't. But God, You do. And I just thank You that as we come to You, that You have the power to change us, to comfort us, to lead us into a new lifestyle. Lord, I pray that if there are any today that need to repent, that there's a pattern of sin that they're holding on to, that the Holy Spirit right now would convict, and that we would see the big three repentance: regret, remorse, and then turning away, repentance. Please do a great work, God. We don't want to leave here just saying it was good to be here. We want to leave here different and changed by Your grace. In Christ's name, amen. I want to ask you as we prepare for our response time here today, have you turned your grief over to God yet? Are you holding on to something real deep inside and it's painful and you're hurting? Could this be that time that you would really turn that over to Him so that you could experience His power, His life-changing power in and through you? Remember, one of the best ways to get ready for grief is to make sure that we have a good solid foundation now. How's that foundation going for you? Is it strong? Is it developing? Can you say that you're moving forward in that part of your life? Why don't you make that commitment today to say, I'm going to keep building. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep growing in Christ. Have any of you been moved to such great grief that it almost broke you? You're coming back now. You're doing better. Would you be willing to let God use you to help somebody else yet? Oh, it's so powerful when you will let God use you. You will heal even more as you allow Him to use you as His vessel for the encouragement of others. Are you willing to help others who are grieving? They're out there. We need to enter their world and enter their situations. Hey, as you pray, would you keep in mind the children that Compassion International is reaching out to? And again, pray about maybe your role in that. Maybe that's something God's leading you to do. You know, when we think about grief, sometimes it comes when our family members are getting older and they're struggling and they're hurting. Tonight, we've tried to provide a practical seminar for you guys for a couple of hours. Help for aging family members. Practical ways that you can help them and also learn to cope in the stuff that you're facing as well. Maybe that's something that you'd like to be involved in. It costs nothing. Come and join us for that. And I think it could be a good equipping time. I want to ask you to stand with me as we prepare for our response time today. And let's not just go through the motions, folks. In many ways, this is the most important time of our gathering, because here's where we make our decisions for the future. Is God leading you to become a part of our body? Are you a follower of Christ? You need His resources in life, folks. You don't want to go through grief by yourself. Make a commitment to follow Him. Share that publicly. Maybe a decision to be baptized. What is God laying on your heart? Maybe you just need somebody to pray with you. We'll have staff. We'll have others here at the front. Be glad to do that during this time. Listen to the Holy Spirit and respond to His leading. Will you?